Warning: The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Forward with the belief, as others have said, that as human beings, our greatest glory consists not in never falling, but in rising every time we fall.
Oh, you schmuck, you putz.
As I leave public life,
you're
I will
a moron.
First do what I need to do to help and heal myself and my family.
He reminds me of
then
kids in the GO. What a moron. Stupid. Rich man's son. Idiot.
And to move toward the ideals.
Thanks for hooking with a wire transfer.
Which I believe can build a future of hope.
A real genius.
For us and for our children.
Recently, my running mate David Patterson toward the school he attended as a child.
This was
walking
the PC created. Listen to this. The guy's an idiot.
Years ago, you begin your journey on Trustworthy Turnpike, make a left past Honesty Road, turn down Integrity Lane, and eventually, if you've walked the right way, end up on Responsibility Road. Starting in January, we'll be leading our state government on the same journey. And we're going to make it all the way to the end.
You made it to the end. Look, there's so many things that are going to be said today, and you're going to do a lot of the talking because the people are all over the map on the Spitzer deal. Let me begin at the beginning. He's not that smart. He's a rich man's son. Got where he is through daddy's money. How do I know that? Because he's a putz. Now, I'm no expert on psychiatry, but when I looked at his face carefully and listened to him, I saw mild schizophrenia. I don't know about you. I also saw that this was a walking example of liberalism as a mental disorder. Here is a man who had no idea that the very laws he was using to shake people down and throw them down might be used against him someday by his enemies. Here is a man who was obviously either suicidal. How can you put it any other way? Self-sabotaging, suicidal, stupid. Whoever heard of paying for a hooker by wire transfer? I never heard of such a thing. I never read of anything like this, actually. This is actually a novelty to me. Now, look, the fact of the matter is, I'm not naive. I said it's the world's oldest profession yesterday, and it's obviously the world's oldest profession today. But for this guy to do it in this manner and not think he was going to get caught indicates self-sabotage, suicidal tendencies, or stupidity, or all three. Now, let me turn the clock back for you. When I was a mere lad, there was a Governor Rockefeller, straight old Governor Rockefeller, who died with his pants off in his governor's office on 53rd Street on top of his secretary, who was also undressed. In fact, he was such a large governor and so much bigger than life that she couldn't get him off her after he dropped dead on top of her. And she had to reach around in the phone and call, and the police had to bring like a derrick to lift Rockefeller off the secretary. Now, of course, that was an automatic resignation because he died in the act. You know what I'm saying? Now, we understand that there's no real crime here in the Spitzer situation. Many people are saying things like, let's get European, where this wouldn't be a big deal. Why are we so prudish? Well, this is just about how he spends his private time and how he spends his own money. That's what the Democrats are trying to say. Well, is it? Is it really only about using a prostitute, or is it about other things? Where are the crimes here, if any, or is it false morality? Now, many fools on the left, the so-called progressive communists, are bringing up Larry Craig. Do I have to remind you that Larry only tapped a man's foot in the toilet in a rest stop on a highway? Larry didn't wire money illegally. Larry didn't launder money to tap the guy's foot. Larry didn't transfer the person who he was foot he was tapping from New York to Washington, D.C. You know, I spoke with a friend this morning, Dr. Jack Spengler. We sat in Levi's Plaza here in San Francisco, a liberal bastion, to see the liberals going by. It's sort of like butterfly collecting. We sit there and just look at the decline and fall of the United States of America through the visage of the people in San Francisco. All red diaper dopa babies. Some of them know it, some of them don't. Hate America, hate corporations, hate the American flag, hate the military, hate the police. Walking around in a dream world, have no idea what world they live in. And Dr. Jack Spengler, a descendant of Otto, said to me that, Mike, you're 1,000% right. This really is a classic example of liberalism as a mental disorder. But I said, yeah, come on. The people are going to, like, try to sweep it under the rug. They're going to say, this is not corrupt. Why don't we get European and leave personal to personal? It's absurd that a political career should be in jeopardy because of sexual activity during personal time. I mean, I've heard it all before. It doesn't apply, of course, to Republicans. It only applies to liberals because they actually believe it. But my point is that he was a prosecutor. He was the top law enforcement official in the state of New York. He knew the law and he broke it. These comments are the comments of red diaper dopa babies, by the way. Now, that's one thing. Now I want to ask you something. What could be more just than for New York State to go from this kind of lunatic governor who went after the very businesses that made New York State great to now inherit a blind governor, a blind governor who flunked the bar, who will now be the top law enforcement official in the state of New York? I mean, it doesn't get any better than this. You'd have to be a cartoonist in 18th century England to understand the beauty of this. You'd have to be a cartoonist who can draw pictures for Punch of the 18th century in order to understand what's coming with Governor Patterson. It's amazing to me what's coming in New York State. And by the way, it's not good for the Democrat Party. This scandal, the Spitzer scandal, you know, if I were given to conspiracies, which I'm not, I really am not really given to conspiracies. I think that there are bad people and good people. I think there are powerful machines and weak machines. I think there are smart men and stupid men. But I'm not really into, like, UFO conspiracies. However, if I had any inkling in that direction, I would say that if there was a Republican strategist who figured this one out, the guy has to be on the level of a Nobel Prize winner in chemistry to be this smart. So that's why I don't think it's possible. I don't think anyone's that smart. But assuming that there was somebody like this, or could be, and I don't think there is in the political world anyway, they'd be in a laboratory somewhere developing a cure for a melanoma rather than wasting their time with politics. He would have done the ultimate pool shot. Because with one blow, not only did they knock out a top Democrat just at the time when the Democrats have positioned themselves as the party of squeaky clean, when we know they're as filthy as a cesspool in Saudi Arabia. They are filthier than a biotoxic waste dump off the coast of San Francisco. We know that. Who are the biggest recipients of pork in America? Not Republicans. The ones who were are in jail. The biggest pigs are Democrats. Take a look at the Pelosi machine. Take a look at Jack Murtha, the biggest recipient of pork in American history. No, so just as the Democrats are positioning themselves as the party of purity, they're exposed for being the party not only of hypocrisy but of filth. But wait, it gets even better. Now, to top it off, the lieutenant governor in waiting is a guy who's blind and flunked the bar. And now, yeah, you're the governor. What? It's like, whoa, I'm the governor. You're the governor, governor. You're the best. And the guy's blind, and he flunked the bar exam. Now he's the top law enforcement official in the state of New York. He has many months to wreck the state of New York or to completely disgrace the office of the governor to an extent you can't imagine. And that's bad news for Barack Obama, by the way. Very bad news. So if somebody figured this out and wiretapped Spitzer because he had a weakness, remember what I'm saying to you here. How did they bring down Al Capone? Go back to Al Capone. They knew what the guy was, but they couldn't touch him. They couldn't touch him on homicides. They couldn't touch him on murder because he had button men. He had button men between him and the dirty acts, right? So where'd they get him? On tax evasion. They found out where he was weak, and they got him, and they put him away. So You always look for the weakness of your enemy. And what's the enemy's weakness here? Hookers. Obviously, he had a thing for hookers. So the enemy's figured out if that's his weakness, let's get him with a hooker. And that's not going to be enough. Just getting with a hooker is not going to be enough. In the old days, being caught with a live girl or a dead boy, with a live boy or a dead girl in your room would have been enough to sink your political career, but not today. That's not enough because people will accept anything today. However, that's not the issue, is it? The issues are the laws he broke to be with the hookers. What are the laws Spitzer broke to be with the hookers? One, money laundering. Don't say it's his money. He was hiding the money. He was evading. It's a law that he used against corporations and people in corporations, by the way. So please, stop using naive arguments to defend this man. That's number one. Now you say, well, he's resigned. Isn't that enough punishment? We'll have to wait and see. We'll have to wait and see. He's only human, but he is not only human. He's a public servant. Why is he a public servant? Because he has an ego bigger than the moon. This guy has the biggest ego I've ever seen. His resignation speech today sounded like a GO speech in high school with the kids that I would have walked out on. I couldn't take kids like this. I hated, I despised people like this. Pompous isn't the beginning of the end of what I want to say about a guy like this. Each word was chosen for posterity as though everyone was hanging on every word of what Eliot Spitzer, he's going to rise from the ashes and save the world. This is only the beginning of Eliot Spitzer's great career. Eliot Ness now, he's going to go forth and save the world. Even though he was enmeshed in scandal, he's going to go out and save the universe. All right? Listen to clip four. Listen to this stupidity.
I go forward with the belief, as others have said, that as human beings, our greatest glory consists not never fallen, but in rising every time we fall.
Let's stop here. Excuse me, Eliot. Nobody cares about your feelings right now other than they know you're a dirtbag and an idiot. To use this kind of pompous, sophomoric rhetoric in the United States of America in March of 2008 shows your disconnect from reality and why the American people hate politicians, and more specifically, why they distrust so-called progressive liars like you. All of you progressive scum come from wealthy backgrounds or wealthy families, and what you really are crypto-Marxists. And what you want to do is impose government control over every aspect of our lives as though we're not already overly controlled by these dirtbags. And we're fed up with progressives. And I'll tell you something else. And I'll tell you something really important right now. I believe Obama, as flawed as he is, and as fraudulent as he is, and as empty as he is going to be the next president of the United States. And you know why I say that? Because John McCain is a Babbitt of the lowest order. I'm going to have on this show in exactly 15 minutes, Representative Tehart, who is going to talk about the tanker contract award to a foreign government rather than to the United States of America's very own Boeing Corporation. He is going to talk to me and to you about what this government has become under both the Democrats and Republicans of our time. Did you know that three of the last big defense contracts have been awarded to foreign companies? Did you know that the United States Navy awarded the Marine One contract to a foreign manufacturer? That the Army awarded the light utility helicopter contract to a foreign manufacturer, and now that the Air Force has awarded the KCX tanker to a foreign manufacturer, why are they doing this? Dirty money, bribery, bid rigging. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I've begun to atone for my private failings with my wife, Soda, my children.
He's
my
atoning already. When is Yom Kippur? Well, he's atoning early. If he marches out with a rabbi in the next few days, I'll know the guy's a total lunatic. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I mean, Clinton came out with an oversized a Bible, a museum-sized Bible, an MGM-sized Bible, a Harry Mayer-sized Bible with a cross that you could literally, well, let's stop right there. I'm not in a nightclub. Is he a sex addict? I mean, people are saying that he shows all the signs of being a sex addict, from his angry prosecutions to his secret life. I don't know. We're going to have a sex expert on later. I don't know. Everyone has an opinion, you know, on a sex expert. A schmuck, that's all, about a sex expert. He couldn't buy a hooker and give her cash? I don't understand this. Everyone's going around the fact that he's an idiot. The guy's a moron. Now, here's an interesting thing for you to remember. Who was it who has been raising heck about the Patriot Act? For years now, I get calls. Oh, Mike, I'm opposed to the government Patriot Act, blah, 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 blah. No, we don't want wiretapping, blah, blah, blah. We don't want the Patriot Act. And I say, like, well, I got nothing to hide to you. Well, that's not it, Mike. Violation of the blah, 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 liberal. We don't want the Patriot Act. I said, well, wait a minute. They're only tapping people with a court order who might be planning to harm us, okay, like making a phone call to Qatar or to Saudi Arabia, whatever. Nah, Mike, I don't want to interfere with my personal life. I said, well, what it is, it's all you liberals who are either doing children, hookers, drugs, and you don't want your secret life exposed. That's what it is. Why do you think the liberals have opposed the Patriot Act? Think Spitzer. That's why they opposed the Patriot Act, by the way. That's all there is to this. So there it is. That's the world. I mean, it's the world as I see it, and it's probably as accurate a picture as you're going to get from anyone. But oh, I care that this guy wanted to be with a hooker, truthfully. It don't matter to me. I didn't care when Clinton was doing the interns. I figured if those dirty sluts wanted to be with him, that's their problem, not mine. But he was a rotten president. He destabilized America. It wasn't that he was with the girls in the pantry. It was disgusting. But if Hillary Clinton were your wife, I mean, you know, you'd do things, too, that a normal man wouldn't do. Let's look at it that way. You know, take a look at the pantsuit, and you'll know what I'm talking about, that they hide there. Like FDR, they wouldn't show from the waist down. She has the same as FDR now. They wouldn't show him in a wheelchair. Oh, no. We won't show the – don't show him the waist down. The election's over. Why? Nobody likes anybody who looks like a Bartlett pear running the country. That's why. How many different ways can you cut a pantsuit? Just show her from the head up. She's still a good-looking woman. Between the Botox and the surgery, she's got a chance. That's all. No shots from the waist down. That's it. She's the new FDR. After office, you can show them. After Obama wins, you can show all the shots you want from the waist down. That's all.
Savage.
Come along and be my party doll. Come along and be my party doll. Come along and be my party doll. I'll make love to you.
The song goes out to Elliot Spitzer. This is the Savage Nation. We're going to move from the progressive Governor Spitzer, who, don't forget for a minute, tried to jam illegal aliens and their driver's licenses down the throat of New York, and they regurgitated this man. This man is a monster and a bit of a psycho as far as I'm concerned. But there's a much bigger story, which is the tanker scandal, the Air Force tanker scandal. My headline on michaelsavage.com says Air Force changed tanker contract to aid rival. Right now joining us is a man who's going to tell you the truth about this corruption, the bid rigging. That's what it is bid rigging. And it's Congressman Todd T. Hart, Republican of Kansas, who now joins us on the Savage Nation. Congressman, welcome to the program.
Can you hear me?
Yes, you're on the radio with Michael Savage and millions of others.
Saying that this was rigged. It was an unlevel playing field. And I'd be glad.
Let me ask you something. Would you consider this bid rigging?
I don't know if it would fit in the term bid rigging, but it certainly is unfair and unjust. And let me tell you exactly what they've done in the Department of Defense. They have set up a special deal with our NATO allies, including France, Germany, Spain, United Kingdom, and another 19 nations. And they waive the regulations for them. They allow them to have illegal subsidies and make no consideration for it. They allow them to have legal subsidies that American companies don't get. And they allow them to waive those, and they don't even take into consideration the lost revenue from lost jobs. And when you balance all that out,
Congressman, I agree with you. I'm on your side. I want Boeing to get the contract, but the American people don't really understand the story that well. Let's get into the heart of the matter. Didn't they change the RFP at the last minute to give the Europeans an advantage?
Yes, there were two changes after the RFP was released, and both of them were in performance characteristics, and each was progressively better for the larger European-built tanker. And let me tell you how this started out. They really led Boeing astray. For 7 years, they've been talking about a medium tanker, a medium-range tanker that they need to replace. We have two in our inventory now, a KC-135 and a KC-10. The KC-10 is much larger. It's a DC-10 airframe. Well, they had all this information out there about the medium tanker. The RFP has a baseline of the medium tanker, and then they bought the tanker that's bigger than a KC-10. So they
really— Right. So let me explain it step by step. They then shifted the request for proposal, and they said, we no longer want a medium-sized tanker. We want a large tanker. And, of course, that met the silhouette of the Airbus that was being manufactured and offered for the tanker, correct?
Correct. It looks like this was pushed into a European manufacturing situation.
But, Congressman, I watched the hearings on C-SPAN over the weekend from last Thursday, and I was shocked to see Congressman Murtha cut the hearings off just when the American people were getting an inkling of what was going on. It looks as though there's more to this than simply wanting to give the contract to the Europeans because it's a better product. There must be something else at stake here.
Well, this has gone on for some time, and we didn't recognize it. First, they replaced the presidential helicopter, and a foreign manufacturer got that business. Then they replaced the light utility helicopter, and a foreign manufacturer got that business. We should have known when both of those things occurred. But it wasn't until this air refueling tanker that it became as plain as the nose on our face, that this was an unlevel playing field, and the advantage goes to the European manufacturers, and we're pushing these jobs, these American jobs, overseas. And they're not taking into consideration the loss of those jobs. And just to give you an indication how much that is, on this proposal for American refueling tanker, if you take both manufacturers at their word, there is still a loss, a net loss of 19,000 American jobs. Just the revenue during this program to the federal government in the form of taxes for those 19,000 workers is nearly $4 billion during the life of this program. So this $35 billion program actually cost the American taxpayers almost $40 billion, $39 billion, and they still get a Airbus tanker. So they don't even get an American tanker, and that doesn't make—
All right, well, I hear you on this. Now, you mentioned three of the last big defense contracts awarded to foreign companies, the Navy awarding the Marine One contract, the Army awarding the light utility helicopter, the Air Force awarding the KCX to a foreigner. Has this all occurred since Murtha took over as defense appropriations chairman?
I don't know the dates of those contracts, and I don't know that he has anything to do with it. But I do know one thing, that the rules we have within the Pentagon today have progressively gotten more and more favorable to European manufacturers, and it's got to stop. I think we got to draw the line here today on this tanker contract and say, no mas, no more. We're not going to put up with this kind of illegal subsidies. You know, here we got one branch of the government, the USTR, United States Trade Representative, suing Airbus for illegal subsidies, and then we got the other branch, the Army, and another branch, the Air Force, giving them contracts. Now, if you were sitting in judgment of these illegal subsidies, what would you think? You got your government doing—
I'll tell you what I think as an American taxpayer and as a cynical talk show host. Somebody's being paid off to award these contracts to the Europeans. It's an illegal transfer of money. And I think that the FBI should investigate every member of the Defense Appropriations Subcommittee, frankly. And I'd like to see an open investigation conducted in public. I'd like to know if any money's transferred hands.
Well, I have to tell you, there's a way to have Americans hear their voice besides on the Savage Nation. They can go to my website at www.house.gov, that's gov/Tihart, T-I-A-H-R-T, and there's a survey there. And if you're outraged by outsourcing our national security, you can enter your vote. There's also the number for the White House, so they can call the president and also register their outrage at outsourcing our national security.
Well, how does the president react to all this? What's President Bush saying about it, if anything?
Well, the president hasn't reacted to all this. He's keeping very low profile.
I see. It's on the order of the, what's good for, I got it. He hasn't reacted. He is the chief executive, for God's sakes. Couldn't he step in by executive order and stop this right now?
Well, the Pentagon could stop this. The president could stop this. Congress will probably try to stop this. I know I will try to stop this.
The American people, I can guarantee you, are on your side. And let me say this. There are some people say, well, maybe the European airplane is better. Let's deal with that discussion. Is the Airbus better than the Boeing?
Well, if you look at the performance characteristics, the Air Force will tell you, well, yes, it performed better. But what they don't tell you is they rigged the system so that it would. And that's what's so frustrating by this.
What do you mean by rigged the system? You mean they asked for a design that's larger? Let me back up. The average person doesn't know all the details. The original bid called for a smaller tanker that could land on shorter runways. Is that correct?
Correct.
And the Boeing tried to meet that qualification with their plans for the new tanker. Then sort of at the last minute, the RFP was changed by unknown forces inside the government and said, no, we don't want that size plane. We want a big plane. And guess who was waiting in the wings with the big plane? It was Airbus. So this is what we're talking about. We're losing our infrastructure. We're losing our ability to manufacture our own airplanes, our own tanks. We're selling off component manufacturing subdivisions, such as the turbine engine manufacturing, for our tanks. And yet the government seems to fiddle while Rome burns. George Bush is the one who should step in here, Congressman. The American people can scream all they want. It's true. We stopped a Dubai ports deal right on this show. Maybe we can help you save this contract for Boeing, because we know what's right for Boeing in this case happens to be right for America.
You're absolutely right, Michael. It has to rise to the level of the Dubai ports deal, because when it gets to that level, then the president's going to have to step in and say, this will stop. We're not going to do it anymore. There's a big injustice here, because when these American manufacturing jobs go away, they don't come back. When we lose the ability to build the products we need to protect our families, when that goes away, it doesn't come back. We're going to have a difficult situation here when we rely on the Europeans to provide for our defense. And if it's just a cheap product, why don't we get our submarines from the Chinese? Why don't we get our rockets from the North Koreans? Why don't we get our missiles from Iran? There's a reason why we don't, because it's...
I agree with you. I've jokingly said the same thing. Why don't we just outsource the entire U.S. military and let the Chinese send 10 million of their men over here and put on American uniforms? After all, they'll work for a handful of rice a day.
You know, the English tried to outsource their national security when they sent the Hessians to Delaware, and George Washington took care of them, didn't he?
You're right, my friend. But again, I know that you're not going to respond to our concerns or even mine. I smell corruption. I watched that hearing. Every alarm bell went off inside of me. I listened to the bureaucracy and the bureaucrats. I saw a scandal here of the highest order. This is bid rigging. And I would beg the FBI. I mean, you're a congressman, for God's sakes. Can't you insist that they investigate a possible transfer of funds to any of these people on the subcommittee? Why assume that they're so honest?
Well, I don't make any assumptions they're honest. They have to report publicly all the money that comes in and goes out of their bank accounts. But I do know one thing.
No, wait a minute. But Governor Spitzer just transferred money to shell corporations. It wasn't to his own bank account. So there's many different ways that they could be doing this. Something's wrong with this. And in a time when Americans have been screaming, stop the outsourcing, for the Defense Department to be doing this means that there's an awful lot of money at stake. And somebody was tempted with so much money, they figured, it's a scandal that'll blow over. The American people don't care that much about it. But guess what? We do. This story, I've talked to a few people about this. Everybody knows about it. It's got to become the major story of our time.
It's a huge story, and if people go to my website, they can get involved in this story. They can be part of the solution. And it's
give us your website again, Congressman, please.
It's www.house.gov/TIAHRT.
Okay. I'm going to try and get that up on my website. We get over a million and a half a month of people. We'll try to help any way we can to see Boeing gets the contract. So the next time I fly anywhere, maybe they'll give me a meal in first class rather than peanuts.
We got a tanker blog and a whole page of public tankers. They can do a great
Congressman,
job.
Seriously, this is an outrage. It's not only about the loss of jobs, it's the loss of national security. It goes to the heart of borders, language, and culture. We're losing our nation step by step, company by company, manufacturer by manufacturer, and the buck stops at the president's office. He should step in now and stop it. Not the little people screaming for justice here. The president has to do something other than doing a tap dance on the White House lawn. Anyway, Congressman, thank you very much for coming to the Savage Nation. We'll do everything in our midst here that we can do to help you see that the contract goes to Americans for American jobs.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Michael.
Congressman T. Hart, Air Force Tanker Contract Award. Go to michaelsavage.com. You'll see the whole story on the right column. It's a scandal of the highest order, and I would bet my shoes that somebody on that committee, at least somebody in that committee, at least one person, has been smeared or paid off or received money. That's my feeling. I don't know who. I don't know how much is at stake. Somebody got paid off to do this. There's no way in the world they would have done this during a politically sensitive time unless they were paid to such an extent that the money was so great that they couldn't resist it. There's a money trail. It can be found. The American people would love to see the hearings and get some faith in government restored. I'll be right back.
Savage. Love and marriage, they go together like a horse and carriage. This I'll tell you, brother, you
can't
have one without the other.
From Elliot Stress to Elliot Ness, or the other way around, turn it off already. Turn it off already. Who would have ever thought that the governor would stoop this low? I never expected it. I never expected it. But, of course, Rockefeller, I told you with the secretary, you know, I've been around a while. I remember it. It was a shocker. What did they call him? Governor Nelson Rockefeller. He had the no-knock law. Everyone I knew was smoking pot. They're afraid of the doors being broken in, blah, 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 at that time. The no-knock law at that time. He was like a tough governor, but there he was doing the secretary. But then again, the wife was happy. I mean, her name was Happy. And I don't know. God bless her soul, but... Obviously, the marriage wasn't happy, so the secretary. All right, Millie, come on in and take a letter and put the out to lunch sign on the door. Yeah, and send everybody home on Fifth Avenue and 53rd Street in the building where Kissinger worked originally next door as his gopher before he became such a famous go-go dancer. And the next thing you knew, delayed the Vietnam War and sufficiently for another 20,000 men to get injured and killed. And then after that, by the way, rose very high up as a result. It seems that the more men you kill, the higher up you go in the food chain. It's like becomes like a mark of honor. Oh, really? That many? No kidding. Oh, you're a big guy. 20,000 men died because of that decision. That's big. That's big. He's still around, Kissinger. Never marched. Never did the perp walk with him. Unbelievable. Well, that's the world. I'm not going to talk about the Airbus deal anymore. I said all I'm going to do. I did my thing for America. What can I say already that I haven't said? I watched the hearing. I wanted to reach through the screen and call Elliot Ness and say, please get them before they leave the room. When I saw Murtha cut the hearings off, it was right out of, you know, there were movies in the 60s, like they were done by left-wing filmmakers because it was always like a corrupt right-wing government. But now that we have a corrupt government, irrespective of left or right, it doesn't matter what the now we got a government. So because the Democrats running the committee, they're above suspicion. It was a movie Z that was done in the 60s. Oh, it was such a huge movie at the time. But it was about the corruption and blah, blah, blah. But it was the same thing while hearings were being held. And at that time, people were screaming for justice. The right wingers cut the hearings off by shutting off the microphone. That's what Murtha did. All right, we're going to move on now. Jawboned everybody. He got up with this arrogance that he was in charge. The hearing is going to stop. No matter what the outrage is in Congress or the public be damned. We're going to move on. And don't worry, honey, I'll cover you behind. That blondie there in the room there, the Air Force Appropriations Officer. Man, there's three novels to be written about this particular story. If you're a screenwriter, don't fool yourself. This movie would be a big hit. See, this is the problem with Hollywood screenwriters. They write movies only from the left-wing perspective about targets they think are politically correct targets. You know, corporations, evil corporations, asbestos, global warming. Well, why don't you write one about the scandal here, about the Airbus scandal? The three contracts in a row going to Europeans and the Defense Appropriations Subcommittee under the hands of a former Marine who got there by calling his fellows in the Marines Nazis and fascists and murderers, and was rewarded by Nancy Pelosi for doing this to the U.S. military because she figured that was a lynch to the American people in the anti-war thing. They moved them right up to this position. Say, well, is he corrupt? No, I'm sure he's as clean as the driven snow. Clean as the driven snow, I'm sure of it. I'm sure he's an honorable man. then why are these contracts going to foreign manufacturers? What, does he hate America that much? Doesn't that tell you a story? Either way, something's wrong with the picture. Something's wrong with the picture. Spitzer story. Paul, WOR, go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, nice to talk to you. I just want to say thanks for the last 6 years of entertainment. You've brought me from 2002 till now. So
I'm glad that I'm a clown and that you can get some fun out of this show. I know that you're too intelligent to learn anything from this show.
No, I just like your meatball stories and your comparisons to how a country's doing good and the meatballs are bigger and then they get smaller.
All right, whatever. So what's your opinion today?
My opinion is that when I heard the story break, you know, the sensation I got was that I didn't feel inside like, thank God they got this guy. I didn't feel that the crime, I wasn't impressed with it. I didn't feel like our resources, although they were used wisely and conservatively and they got this guy, that's great.
What you're saying is the crime of being with a prostitute does not come up to this level of losing his entire life. That's what you're saying, I think.
Right. I don't think.
But let's put it in context. That would be true for an ordinary Joe Blow citizen. But the same rules don't apply for a politician who is held to a higher standard, Paul. You've got to understand what public service means. Public service and being a public servant means that you actually are giving up some things to become a public servant. It has meaning. Moreover, he's supposed to be a role model for the rest of us. And so if he becomes lower than the rest of us, what he does is he drags the body politic down and doesn't lift them up.
What about the public servants who brought him to justice? Those are public servants as well. And what I'm trying to say is that it sounds more like...
But you're missing the point. The prostitution part of it is the least of it, Paul. How about the illegal wire transfer? Doesn't that bother you?
It all bothers me.
Wait a minute. The illegal wire transfer and tax evasion are very serious issues because if he is permitted to get away with this and is not prosecuted, do you realize the federal government will lose every case they bring against people who are doing the same things to promote terrorism in this country? In other words, if Ahmed Mohammed Chaim Yankel is bringing in some explosives and he does it by transferring money and the government goes after him on that, they could have the case thrown out on this precedent unless he's nailed to a cross.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Over the course of my public life, I have insisted, I believe correctly, that people, regardless of their position or power, take responsibility for their conduct. I can and will ask no less of myself.
All right, get off the air already. You know, here's the thing about these guys. Even in shame and in defeat, they're pompous fools. The guy's an ass. You know, a guy with any self-respect would have got up and said, I made a mistake. I embarrassed myself and my family, for which I am apologizing and I'm resigning. Thank you very much. Goodbye. But he has to give a speech like he's in high school. That schmuck. Now, here's a guy, according to the New York Post, has revealed that as a customer of the high-end prostitute, Governor Spitzer had wanted oral sex without a condom with the high-priced prostitute named Kirsten. Now, that means that his wife should be tested for trichomonas, syphilis, gonorrhea, and chlamydia, as well as HIV/AIDS, according to the doctor. They say the wifey should be tested. Now, what's interesting here is that old Spitzer was a strong advocate for the use of condoms as part of New York's Safe Sex Education Program. He even had the audacity to appear with a Sex and the City star, if you want to call it that, at a family planning advocates conference a year ago. In other words, the baby killers. That's his cup of tea. Under Spitzer, now listen to this. This is amazing. Under the same Spitz in your facer, the state rejected a $3.7 million in federal money for abstinence-only sex education to teach children about safe sex. And on the Spitz in your facer, the state canceled all of its abstinence-only contracts, saying the policy was based on ideology rather than on sound scientific evidence. You rotten bum, you. I hope they put you away for 25 years. And let me tell you why. Not for the hooker. And I'll tell you why I think they're going to go for it. I'll tell you exactly why. I have to be the only one to do it. Once again, Atlas shrugged, but not me. I don't shrug my duties. If I have to be the first one in the media to do it, I will not be the last. But I've watched the cable shows, and some of the people are very smart who come on as guests. But they missed the point I'm about to make, which I made at the end of the last hour. The federal attorney, the U.S. attorney, has to prosecute him for money laundering, has to go after him on these issues for one major reason. If the government does not do it, here's what's going to happen. The next time the government wants to go after a would-be terrorist for money transferring, money laundering, who's using money, let's say, to buy or transfer explosives, for example, his shyster lawyer will use the Spitzer precedent to get this would-be terrorist off. He'll say, well, look, we have this precedent of a governor of the state of New York who did the very same thing that my client, Mr. Abu Amachamar Chaim Yankel, did. And so, therefore, you cannot selectively prosecute this client based on race alone. And, of course, the jury's being psychotic will throw the case out. That's why I'm telling you right now, no matter what his power is, no matter what favors he can call in, I would guess right now the government has an obligation. It has to. And this crosses party lines. The government has to prosecute him for money laundering, illegal wire transfers, and whatever. Forget the hooker thing. In order to sustain the entire integrity of that statute and to support the Patriot Act, which we all agree is a very important tool to protect us from would-be terrorists, irrespective of whether you like George Bush or not, it doesn't matter. The only people opposed the Patriot Act are people hiding either drugs, sex, or rock and roll money. That's all. Now, you ought to applaud me. You know what I'm saying? That requires applause. Millions of people's hands should be clapping right now, but I don't expect it. Radio, you function in a void of your own. If you're a comedian, you go before an audience of a few hundred people, and they clap, and you feel good. If you're a talk show host, you get no applause, nothing. You have to sit in silence day and night. It's like worse than being on death row here. I mean, there's no end to it. It's worse than the myth of Sisyphus, and there's no audience. You know, I'm going to talk about, I think I'm going to have to build a radio studio with an audience of 16 chairs like they had in the 40s, and we'll have a lottery, and people will come in, and they'll be screened for STDs before they're allowed to sit down, and weapons, and they'll sit behind the glass. At least you see a reaction. I get no reaction here. That was so good, what I just did, that I'm going to take a break in a few minutes, but right now I want to go into the story a little bit more. Silda Spitzer would be prudent to get tested for sexually transmitted disease, including HIV, given her sex offense husband's alleged preference for unprotected sex with hookers, a specialist said last night. All right. I don't think anyone's going to interview Silda on whether she. I am interviewing a sexpert at 30 minutes after the hour on sex addiction. I've heard a lot about it. I don't know anything about it, but they say that his anger and his obsession with sex with hookers is indicative of a sex addiction. Maybe it's true. We'll look into it. The mouth of his, that slam-shut mouth with that haunting look, I don't know, something about that tells me more about the sex addiction than anything else, the way he clams that yap of his up in a certain way. So I don't know whether that's here or there. So what else do you want to talk about? We did the tanker deal. We did this. Have you heard Bigfoot, his buddy from New York? Have you seen, heard Bigfoot on this yet, Schumer? Listen to clips 9 and 10.
I think it's our obligation as public servants to try and show the country, the people of this country, that government can be a force on their side and a force that's good. And
oh, yeah.
We have to move forward.
Oh,
we have
yeah.
No choice. The governor's undergoing plenty of punishment right now with the resignation, the revelations, and, of course, greatest of all, the wounds in the family fabric. Talking about further punishment today is not something I'd want to do.
You know, it's becoming a parody of itself. Did you hear the church bells in the back of Bigfoot Schumer? But the best is yet to come. Now we got a blind guy who failed the bar who's now going to be the governor of New York State. Let me ask you something. Do you think Patterson is qualified to run the state of this size? Now, don't bring up race. Leave it out of the picture. Who picks whom to be a lieutenant governor? Put aside Patterson's race for a minute, please. The governor picked him. This guy who has no judgment at all, who had the judgment to wire transfer money for a hooker, picked Patterson. So what does that tell you about Patterson? This is who he picked. Number two, who do they pick? A genius who could run against them? They pick a guy who's basically of no threat whatsoever to the governor, so the governor can run endlessly without any competition. That makes Patterson a real prize. Now, on top of it all, the guy flunked the bar. Do you have any idea what this means? He's the top law enforcement official in New York State. He flunked the bar, and he's a flunky of Governor Spitzer. You would have to be a cartoonist in 18th century England, creating cartoons for Punch magazine, to understand how delightful this would be. You have to be a cartoonist to understand the picture that they would make, the cartoon they'd make, both of Spitzer and of Patterson right now. But I'm not a cartoonist. I am a talk show host. So if you want to talk about this topic, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. The picture of the governor's prostitute is now all over the internet. We'll have it up on Michael's. Who wants a picture of that dirtbag? You know, I know she's perfect for Larry. Larry King probably came out of a stupor for this one. They probably got him off out of the garlic bed. I understand that Larry King takes a nap every afternoon in raw garlic in order to keep him from going crossing the River Styx. I would guarantee that when he heard that the governor's girl has been identified, he jumped up out of the bed of garlic. Who? They got her. I want her on tonight. We got to get her tonight, quick. Because if he don't get her, the psycho Nancy Grace will go for it. The bug eye is going to go for this one. This is the most important story in the world to those two dirtbags, those gutter rats. You could see how I build friends on this show in the media, day by day, show by show, brick by brick. I build friendships with the media. You know, there's a certain freedom in being hated by everybody in the media. It actually relieves you of the burden of caring whether you're ever going to be on their show. Because once you know you're not, you can say everything you want about them, which is what people think about them anyway. So there it is. That's all. On MichaelSavage.com, you will see the bad news, but the bad news has good news attached to it as well. The bad news was expected, I think, in a way, which is that the Clinton-appointed Bolshevik judge, Judge Ilston in San Francisco, the Bolshevik judge, and I'll tell you why I call her a Bolshevik judge in a minute, the Bolshevik Judge Ilston in San Francisco has ruled in favor of CAIR against me. Now, I want you to understand what this means. CAIR is an unindicted co-conspirator in a federal anti-terrorism trial, yet this diabolical ruling by Judge Ilston, a Clinton appointee, now says to Kerr, you are free to take down anybody in the American political and media landscape who brings up the realities of radical Islam. Now, why did this happen? Here's how it happens. Many of the people now on the bench are the children of red diaper dopa baby parents from the 60s. They're in their 30s and 40s. The parents raised them on a steady diet of hate America. America's no good. Corporations are evil. All Americans are racist. And so now that they're sitting in dirty black robes, I'd hate to be the Senate. I'd hate to run the dry cleaner outside the federal courthouse in San Francisco. I think they need to change the robes every day there. I don't think they're cleanable because the stench from the bench is so overwhelming you could smell it over on Alcatraz when you're boating by it. So these are the children of red diaper dopa baby parents who hate America. And so they have everything upside down. So now they'll side with an Arab front group that is an unindicted co-conspirator in a federal anti-terrorism trial against a native-born American patriot who's in favor of borders, language, and culture. This is the same mentality that will award a contract for a tanker to France. Do you understand what is going on in your country? The country is melting down like Chernobyl, like a nuclear reactor. It's melting down because the filth from the 60s is now sitting on the benches, sitting on corporate boards, and sitting wherever you turn in the media. The stench is wrecking America. You've got to take it back. We have to rise up. And if this keeps up, before I disappear, I will tell you right now, if you think I'm going to go away quietly into the night, you are mistaken. I have not yet begun to fight. Because of the help of 25,000 of you, and I want to thank each of you individually, I can't do it, who've contributed to my defense fund, I have enough money to appeal this, and I'm going to do it. That's the good news. But here's the bad news. The next level of appeal is even worse than this Bolshevik judge. It's the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which may as well be a court in the ex-Stalinist Soviet Union. It is the most overturned court in the land. The only chance I have is if I take it beyond that to a federal appeals court and get it before the U.S. Supreme Court in a few years. It might cost me $2 to $3 million. I need you to contribute. I need you to contribute, and that's the end of it. And if you won't do it, then I'll take money out of my own pocket when the time comes. I will try to track this right to the end. I'm not walking away. Moreover, I'll tell you something else. I'll tell you something else. I'm not going away quietly into the night. I am going to shake the foundations of this rotten Roman Colosseum to its core. If I have to, I'll bring 10,000 people into this city. I'll bring them in front of that federal courthouse legally, and I'll let them hear the voice of the people. And when the voice of the people is heard from the ground, that building will shake with indignation, because the people are not going to take it from these filthy, rotten Bolshevik vermin. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Oh, God. Yeah, but the best is yet to come, as I say. It's Governor Patterson, blind and flunked the bar. Unbelievable. Wait, there's more to it. He had a ruling years ago when he was in charge of something against police, which ordered the police not to shoot to kill, but shoot to wound, and cops died as a result of it. This is unbelievable. Russell, San Diego, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Mike, thanks. You're 100% right, and I was rolling on the floor when you were describing this guy. He's just... There isn't any other words.
No. Oh, you mean Governor Patterson, the one? Who else would pick? Listen, he was chosen by a man who has no judgment, Elliot Spitzer. So what does that tell you about Patterson?
He's got less.
That's all. I can't wait. New York's getting what they deserve. If they could elect Spitzer and they could elect Hillary Clinton, they're getting exactly what they deserve. So here's how the New York Times leads. After bringing down Spitzer, now they write a story about woman at the center of governor's downfall, and right away it's hearts and flowers for her. She left a broken home on the Jersey Shore at 17 and came to New York City to work the nightclubs. Gee, I thought you boys at the New York Times like broken homes. I thought you were against traditional marriage. I thought you loved that kind of lifestyle. Now at 22, she is the unwitting and yet unseen star of the seamy drama in the downfall of Governor Elliot Spitzer of New York. Da-da-da-da-da. She's not so hot. I mean, she's got a tattoo on her hand that, you know, you give me ink and I say it stinks. That's all I can tell you. This guy has no taste. I mean, he has a classy, beautiful, intelligent wife. And this is his idea of excitement? What a yutz. When I was in high school, a guy like this would have been called a yutz. We wouldn't have even talked to him. We knew what he wanted to be. A governor. First a lawyer and then a governor. Prosecutor, then a governor. We know the type. We never liked that type. The people I hung around with. Nobody likes that type. So there it is, a big deal. Big story. But you got to go back to my main... You think they'll bring in his moil? That's what I want to know. The moil is the ritual circumciser. And you know, this is an important point I'm raising right now when I think about it. Because in the trial of the woman at the center of governor's downfall, they actually have to prove they were together. Who would know? The moil. So they could bring in Mr. Finkelstein, please stop taking. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, all truth, nothing? Yes, I do. Believe me, I do. All right. How old was Governor Spitzer when you first met him?
When I first met him, he was a baby. He was in a crib. He was nothing.
How old? A
couple of days, 10 days. What do I know? And I haven't seen him since. What do you want from me? I have nothing to do with this.
Please stick yes or no, sir. Mr. Finkelstein, did you know?
I knew when he was 7, 10 days old. I haven't touched it since.
No! I mean, I've seen him since then.
I don't know what you're dragging me that can kill the whole business here.
I don't know if they'd actually bring the moil in, but how are they going to prove they actually were together unless she confirms it? In other words, he could have transferred money. He could have gone to the hotel with her. But what if they weren't having sex in the hotel room? What if she says they were only, like, reading Proust together? That he was educating her because she was a poor white trash chick and he was so smart and so sophisticated, they met for lessons, like reading lessons. I mean, what if she shocks the court? Anything could happen in this country, believe me. Hey, let me tell you something. With enough money waved in front of this chick, she could get up there and say that he never touched me. We were doing reading lessons. Then what happens to the case then? He was paying her to help her because she was so downtrodden. And since he's such a good progressive, he went all the way to Washington to help this one girl to save her because he knew that he who saves a single life, it is though he saved a single mile.
Savage.
Recently, my running mate David Patterson and I toured the school.
We heard the running mate. What judgment you have.
The very same hall
welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Years ago.
You am I on the air yet?
On Trustworthy Turnpike.
Turn him off already. Now, we're going to continue to talk about this and the tanker deal and other stories, the latest breaking news. If you analyze this Spitzer thing, he was self-destructive, somewhat suicidal. Something's wrong with the whole picture. He looks like he wanted to get caught. He's definitely experiencing electile dysfunction. There's no question about it. There is no question that Spitzer is now definitely experiencing electile dysfunction. I don't think he can run for public office beyond this. And remember this. Even if he uses the defense that he went to Washington not to have sex with the girl but to save her because she was a single girl, and he remembers his teachings which said that he who saves a single moil, it is as though he has saved a single goil, I don't think any of that will work. I think behind it all is a disturbed man. And joining us right now is an author, Maureen Canning, who is a sex addiction specialist. Her book is Lust, Anger, and Love. Maureen Canning, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Michael.
In a short version, short take, you think that his anger and his sexual proclivities indicate sexual dysfunction, right?
Well, I don't have, I can't say specifically because I haven't met him personally. But what if he's got repeated visits to see prostitutes over a period of 8 to 10 years? That sounds like a problem to me.
Oh wait, hold on. Let's stop right there. What if he and his wife don't have sexual relations? What if she doesn't want it? She's not interested, and he still has a high sex drive, and he needs a relief. And he doesn't want to have a relationship because he goes professional. Does that mean he's addicted?
Well, here's the dynamic, and that's a very common dynamic, because what happens is if he is a sex addict and if he picks someone who's not wanting or willing to be sexual with him for whatever reason, that is a built-in trigger or a built-in excuse or justification to go out and act out as he pleases.
Interesting. This is interesting. So all addictions have triggers, whether it be alcoholism or drug use. There are steps that go on inside a person where they'll reach for that drink. Let's say they're on the wagon. They haven't drunk. So things happen, or they set things up to happen to make their self-esteem go down till eventually they say, damn it, I'll have that drink. Or darn it, I'll call that girl up, right?
That's correct. Right. The
Amazing.
Basis of this addiction is really based in a low sense of self-esteem or shame. It lies on a bed of shame. And so
wait. You mean he feels dirty, so he acts dirty?
I'm sorry, what?
He feels dirty, so he acts dirty?
Well, I wouldn't say acts dirty, because that's pretty judgmental. I want to look at it more in clinical terms. And what I would say is that he does self-destructive behavior, which is a self-fulfilling prophecy, which reinforces that belief, you see. So it's a cycle that the person gets stuck in order to try to undo it. Believing that
Wait. Let me take it a step at a time here. I look at this and I see a stupid man or a self-destructive man because he transferred money to be with a prostitute and moved her from out of state. He didn't have to do all of that. I mean, he was running the risk of getting caught. He prosecuted cases where there was money transfers. Don't you think there was a part of him that wanted to get caught?
There could be. But let me tell you that when a sex addict is in the cycle of addiction, that means that they're in that trance-like state. They are high and they are they're really out of touch with reality. They feel invincible. And what I understand about Governor Spitzer is that he was already somewhat self-righteous and entitled. If that's his personality and then he starts acting out in those ways, then he starts to believe that he's above the law and he won't get caught. He's invincible. And that's often the thinking of the addict while they're in their cycle.
And that's why during today's resignation speech, it sounded like a victory speech. It sounded as though he still didn't believe that anything has happened to him. He thought he was taking another victory step. That's what I heard.
You know,
now, you are a clinical consultant for sexual disorders and this and that. And I have to, you know, go through the whole detail here. You yourself were once a sex addict, according to your own promotion. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And what did that mean? What did that actually mean?
It meant that my life was really about sexual conquest. And where that came from was that I was traumatized as a child, and that set up my bed of shame, so to speak, that I don't deserve, that I'm not lovable, there must be something wrong with me. So I learned that sex was a way to have power and control. Sexual addiction is really about power and control over the emotional powerlessness that one feels. In other words,
wow.
I feel powerless because I am not any good. So I'm going to go out and I'm going to get a score, whatever that is, whatever the behavior is.
All right. So how did you get the cure?
Well, what I did was first you have to know you have a problem. All right. That has to be the first. Second, you have to be motivated to get help. There are no addicts out there who are going to get help if the pain outweighs the gain. All right. So the pain has to outweigh the gain, and they have to be consequences that are stacked against the person. They're really motivated and willing to take that next step to get help. When that's the case, there's all kinds of treatment centers and modalities that are available to people out there.
But do the treatments really work, or do people go to these meetings to meet each other?
That's a good question. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that are, quote-unquote, trolling the meetings. But my experience is that when I work with people, I have a very, very high rate of recovery.
But, Maureen, I'm not questioning your professionalism or your success rate. Believe me, I'm not being cynical here, even though that's my middle name. But, you know, I drive by churches at night, and I see Alcoholics Anonymous meetings, and I see people out there. It looks like they're having a party. They're standing outside smoking. It looks like they're going to meet each other. So what happens during a sex anonymous meeting? Isn't it the same as AA? Hi, my name is Deborah. I'm a sex addict. Is that what they do?
The format is similar to the AA, although the focus is on the sexual behaviors.
Do people get up and say what they actually do?
Yeah, they talk about they'll talk about what their issues are and what they're struggling with that particular day. Yeah, and what that's about, there's a lot of socialization within these 12-step groups. Part of the problem with an addict, usually, particularly sex addicts, is there's a lot of wounding around knowing how to be in a relationship. And so developing healthy relationships, learning how to, you know, to reach out, being able to be emotionally available, to learn how to communicate, to learn how to be vulnerable and intimate, that's all very important. And so 12 steps can really provide that environment.
How would a public figure such as Elliot Spitzer have gone to a Sex Anonymous meeting? Everybody would have known what he is. And brings to the bigger question, at these Sex Anonymous meetings, how can a person who's famous be anonymous?
Well, you know, I mean, there's no guarantee, of course, but, you know, what you hope is that the people will respect your anonymity. That's the basis of the program. And
it's like Hollywood. Do Hollywood stars, who obviously many of them have sex addiction problems, do they go to Sex Anonymous meetings?
Speak to that in general terms. But I do know it is an organization that can be very helpful and a great resource for individuals.
Yeah, but as I would say, even if Spitzer knew he had a problem and wanted treatment, I think that it would be very hard for him to seek it through a group therapy session. So what would a man like that do?
What I would recommend is that he look at doing some private work with a private individual or with a outpatient program and be able to start to look at his issues so that he can feel safe, because that's the key to the whole thing. If you don't feel safe, you're afraid your anonymity is going to get broken, then, of course, you're not going to share and say what you need to do and get the help you need. So, yeah, I would recommend that.
What should his wife have been on the lookout for? Do you think she knew what was going on, not to the nth degree of every detail, but don't you think she must have figured out at a certain point that he was doing this?
I can tell you, I can speak from my experience, and that is that usually, yes, the partners have some inkling. The issue is around denial. And not wanting to see it oftentimes, but there usually are signs and symptoms going on that they just sort of turned a blind eye to, because they don't really, you know, that's part of their stuff too.
Yeah, but how uncommon is it for a powerful politician to be seeing a lady of the night, so to speak, when it's considered the oldest profession? The interesting part here to me is that he would do it in such an amateurish manner, such as money transfers, money laundering, all crimes that he himself has prosecuted. Again, I got to get back to it. Doesn't it look as though this man wanted to get caught?
Well, here's, again, I think that a lot of it has to do with his entitlement and the type of personality that he had. Now, here's the interesting thing is what he did is very typical as well. It's called a reaction formation. And what that means is that the person becomes an advocate for the very thing that they're doing that's destructive to themselves. It's a Freudian term. It's an old term. So they're literally reacting the opposite way of what the truth is, their secret world. So there's a split there within the personality of the individual.
Wait. He becomes an advocate for what?
When he becomes an advocate to shut down prostitution rings, when he is soliciting those very things.
Oh, so it would be like a guy who has a secret gay life going out and having gay trysts, for example.
And this is very typical. We see this a lot with clients.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. I guess there's nothing new under the sun. Maureen Canning, the book again is Lust, Anger, Love. You're a very insightful guest, and I really appreciate having you on this Savage Nation.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Very interesting. See, I would always try to take a show like this to a different place. I mean, there's only so much you could do when joking about Spitzer. I mean, we're not going to stop. We've only begun to fight here because, A, he's such a delightful target and that he's such an ass. Two, he was a progressive. As you well know, all progressives are phonies, and they're using their progressive values strictly to get over on everybody. We all know that. Whenever you hear the word progressive, you better reach for your Glock because they're coming to get you. That's all I can tell you. Let's go to the callers now. Steve on WOR, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. You know, I just want to say, you know, I hate when people say that it's just about the sex and it doesn't affect the way they govern. You know, when you're in a position of power, people are looking for favors, and there's a great opportunity for blackmail and added corruption with that. You know, like, did he make any decisions over the years? I mean, they say he's been doing this for years where someone threatened, you know, if you don't do these licenses or something like that, that if you don't push this, I'm going to out you on this.
Stephen, let me tell you something. You're 1,000% right. It's called a weakness. Let's go to another time in American history. There was a time that the FBI would not hire homosexuals. What was the reason for that? J. Edgar Hoover, who was allegedly a cross-dresser, I don't know if there's any truth to it, had a policy of not hiring homosexuals because he said, A, they are promiscuous generally, B, they're subject to blackmail because of their behavior. Now, let us go to Spitzer. He's dealing with a high-class prostitution ring. How do we know they didn't have hidden cameras in the room and they didn't use these pictures over the years to get certain favors? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Hey, maybe an Airbus lobbyist got some pictures of some of these senators on the Appropriations Committee.
Oh, my God in heaven. Oh, my God. There's no end to that. But look, this is nothing new to me. We have to go back to a seminal American movie, The Godfather. Remember the one in the House of Prostitution in Nevada with the Senator Geary, who was very mean to Michael Corleone and said, get out of here. You disgust me. You with your greasy hair. Remember that?
Yes, Michael.
You remember that one? And wait. Okay, he's the WASP senator who hates the Italian, puts him down. Scenes later, he's found moaning in a house of prostitution in Nevada, saying, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. We've done this 100 times before. It was only a game, and there's a dead girl in his bed. And then in comes the lawyer for the family. He says, don't worry, Senator. This facility is owned by my brother, Frito. Nobody will know. Nobody knows a family. So then they own the senator. That's what you're saying.
That's right.
Yeah, well, we've all gone to the movies. You know what I'm saying? We've all gone to the movies, and we don't believe these speeches these politicians give, and we don't believe these sanctimonious promotionals they give. We don't believe anything they say. What we believe is what we see. And what do we see? We see open borders when 90% of the American people want them closed. We see outsourcing even with defense appropriations, which now has reached a point that makes the Roman Senate look like a patriotic body. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Yeah.
Savage Nation. So we're going from Elliot Spitzer to sex addiction. And I was thinking about something during the break, and I've come up with a couplet that says, the bigger the moil, the smaller the goyle. Now, I don't know if that applies in this case, but I'm going to go to callers now. Bill in Los Angeles, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Always a great show. When I hear the word sex addict, I get really upset. And I got so upset at that woman whining about sex addiction. And I'll tell you why. I'm old. I'm World War II old. And I've lived for a while. Here's what's up with the average, typical American woman today. She gets married. She has a couple of kids. And typically, she shuts down on sex. Her husband doesn't. Now, we have a dilemma. He wants sex. She doesn't. Ooh, he's a sex addict. Now, in times past, like in the 1930s, women were supposed to service their husbands. And if not, there were prostitution places around. As long as they stayed in the same one part of the city, it was cool. So now, what's a typical American man supposed to do? Cheat with a prostitute, with a honey at work? He's wrong no matter what he does. Where does it leave him?
No, you raise a very interesting point. You know, you come from a different time and a different place. And, you know, I understand what you're saying. I'm sure many people are listening or resonate with what you're saying. But I think the issue is a little different than Spitzer being with a prostitute. After all, he was nailed on a wiretap bill because he was stupid. You know, this shows actually an abrogation of intelligence to a level you would never expect from a governor. Who in the world would wire transfer money into a shell corporation to be with a prostitute unless he was a moron? How could this guy be running a state with that kind of budget? You see what I'm getting at?
When a man getting any sex, he does become stupid. My first wife.
Wait. You're telling me there aren't enough prostitutes in Manhattan for this guy to have gotten somebody for cash?
Okay, so maybe he made a bad decision. But the point is, his wife's fault, the fault of our culture, Michael.
How did he get away from New York State troopers or his bodyguards? How did he break that connection? How did they let him out of their sight for this long?
What about Bill Clinton?
Well, it's another question. What kind of security is this? I would wonder how the state troopers walked out on their job. They should be fired if you want to know the truth. You know, they have a moral obligation not only to the governor but to the people. And by turning the other way and leaving them alone in a room, they're actually violating the code of ethics of their own job, incidentally. That's another subtext to this story. Bill, thank you for the call. There are many, many, many fingers to this story. And it's not for you or I to sit here and follow them all. The biggest part of this story is the one I touched on at the end of the last hour, the beginning of this hour, and I'm going to reiterate it now so that you don't forget it, because I didn't hear it in any of the discussions on the cable shows today. I bring it fresh to you, and it's not fresh frozen. And here it is. What are they getting him on? They have to prosecute him, number one. No question the federal prosecutor has to go after him. Because if they don't go after him for money laundering, then the very next time the Patriot Act is used, whether it be on a federal level or on a state level, the defense attorney can easily cite the Spitzer case as grounds to have the case thrown out. Say, well, Your Honor, Elliot Spitzer, Governor of New York, wire transferred money, allegedly not for terroristic purposes, but for the purposes of prostitution, and the case was not pursued by the federal government. Are you telling me you're going to prosecute Mr. Muhammad now, using a fictitious name? You're going to prosecute Mr. Muhammad for alleged terrorist ties? Are you doing this because of racial profiling? Are you telling me that you didn't prosecute Elliot Spitzer because he's not a Muslim? That's exactly what's going to happen unless they prosecute him. Did you hear what I just said to you? Again, I give it to you fresh. Fresh from the fish the whale just caught today. Because I live inside the whale. And I'm telling you, I've just given you the whale of the idea. The entire whale on a platter, still alive and breathing. Still spuming from its blowhole. 1-800-449-8255. I'll stop the metaphors now because they'll be misinterpreted very shortly. And there's always a danger of that in talk radio to begin with. So sex addiction now. Now he's a sex addict. Well, get out the violin for him. Now he's a sex attack. A sex addict. Who did this guy attack? Let's look at Spitzer's record when we come back. Who were his targets? They were all Republicans. They were all not members of the Democrat Progressive Club. And so they got him. Somehow they got him. Oh, it's payback, and there's no question it's political, in my opinion. But so what? The guy was an idiot, and he fell. And remember the song by Jimmy Cliff, The Harder They Fall, because I'm going to play it the minute I come back in the Savage Nation. The Harder They Fall.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation, Harder They Come. Of a pie up in the sky. Sing along.
Waiting
for the bouncing governor.
When I die. But between the day you're born and when you die.
They never seem to hear even your cry.
So as sure as the sun will shine.
I'm gonna get my share now of what's mine. Then, the harder they come, the harder they'll fall, one and all. Ooh, the harder they come.
Ooh, the harder they come.
The harder they'll fall, one and all.
Well, the oppressors are trying to keep me down, trying to drive me. I say forgive them, Lord.
They know not what they've done. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Whoa. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Whoa. Whoa. Yeah. My share now of what's mine. And then the harder they come, the harder they'll fall, one and all. Sing it, Elliot. Oh, the harder they, harder. This guy stands for everything that I hate in the world. An elite SOB, arrogant mutt. Thought he was better than everybody from the day he was born. Okay? Forgive me. Forgive me for enjoying myself. There's a couple of lyrics I want to read to you. Here it comes. Keep on fighting for the things I want. Though I know that when you're dead, you cannot. But I'd rather be a free man in my grave than living as a puppet or a slave, Elliot. Okay, you got the picture. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. That's all. You think America's not celebrating? They're celebrating. You think they don't live to see the high and the mighty fall? Believe me, they live to see the high and the mighty fall. And you think that this doesn't tell you everything you ever wanted to know about progressives? Believe me, it does. You think this does not damage Obama? Yes, it does, on two counts at once. And you think this isn't going to affect the presidential election? You are mistaken, my friend. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. And remember this, the bigger the moil, the smaller the goil. And he who saves a single moil, it is as though he has saved a single goil. And moreover, Elliot Spitzer is now facing a permanent disease called erectile dysfunction. I can guarantee you that. Midland, Texas, Jim, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I just want to let you know, as sick as I am of hearing about this whole Spitzer situation, I think that song that you just, I've never heard that song before, that song that you just played is, that's hilarious, man. That was great. That shows.
Unbelievable. Whoa, this movie, this song by Jimmy Cliff, a Jamaican, it was so big in the early 70s, and the movie came out, The Harder They Come. I loved that movie at the time. I mean, it glorified, you know, smoking dope and all of that. But this guy was such a great actor and singer. that it was hard to ignore him. That's all I can say.
The fact that you put that, that's better than any parody I have ever heard. That is hilarious.
Wait a minute. Hold on now. You never heard the song, but you liked its relationship to the Spitzer scandal. How so, Jim?
Exactly. Exactly.
But why? I mean, where do you see the connection?
I would also just like to reference the fact I think it's hilarious also that his name is Spitzer. You have a good evening.
Thank you, my friend. Okay. Yeah, the harder they come, the harder they fall. See, he was a hard-driving prosecutor. And this guy thought he was like Elliot Ness, untouchable, above the law. And this song says, oh, the harder they come, the harder they'll fall. This guy made enemies in ways we cannot imagine. Now, look, I'm in the business of making friends and enemies, so I understand what I'm talking about here. I've got a lot of friends and I got a lot of enemies. I know that as well. But there's a difference between a politician like Spitzer and myself, just so you don't think I'm living in a glass house and I'm throwing stones. This guy went after people and cost them money. And I tell you something about living in a free country. People may hate you, they hate what you say, but unless you're costing them money, by and large, they know that they leave you alone. That's basically the story of the media. That's the absolute truth. It's not true in a despotism where you cannot criticize the powerful. You wind up tortured and dead for that. In Iraq, for example, before Bush liberated the Iraqis from Saddam Hussein. I mean, give him credit for, you know, where credit is due, despite all of the problems, foibles, and corruption. Okay, he liberated 24 million ingrates who then put a knife in our back. But that's a separate story. What I'm saying to you is, in the media, you get to criticize people. They may hate you for it, but they basically don't look to have you knocked off because you're not costing them money. The minute you cross the line and you start costing them money by exposing the money trail, that's a different story. And Spitzer cost people hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. And believe me, they were very powerful people. Now, the fact of the matter is he should have known better. The laws that he, in fact, used many times were used against him. In other words, he was hung by his own petard. Do you understand that? WOR, New York, Dan, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I spoke to you on air about a year and a half or 2 years ago regarding my father. I caught him down in Atlantic City with prostitutes. I hired a private investigator. My father had called home at the time. And he wanted to know how the dog was doing, didn't care how my mother was doing.
Wait, you actually were on the show with this story? Years?
Yeah, I have it on. I actually have it saved on my computer somewhere.
I must have Alzheimer's. I don't remember that call.
Yeah, it was back in November, maybe about a year and a half ago.
But what was the context of that time? We were talking about fathers?
It was nostalgia. And we were talking about nostalgia.
Oh, so that's the best memory you have of your father is catching Mid-Atlantic City with a hooker. That's great.
Yeah, and you know, to me, seeing everything with Spitzer, it's just reliving it all over again. And the people I work with are talking about it today. Oh, you know, what must his kids must be going through? And I said, well, why through the same thing?
That's amazing. Now, Dan, there's so much that I want to ask you. The kids, the daughters are ruined for life, right or wrong?
Absolutely. I have a younger sister, and I don't think she's ever recovered from it.
I mean, his daughters in particular right now, they went to Horace Mann this school and Elite that school. And, oh, that's the governor's daughter. Here goes Elliot Spitzer's daughter. Oh, that's Elliot Spitzer's daughter. I mean, this is terrible for them.
Sorry, I haven't listened to you.
Yeah, but what happened to you? You caught him? Why? Why would you be snooping on your old man?
He left home. He was living in a house that wasn't paying any bills. So at 18...
Oh, he was the bum, the deadbeat father. Now I recall a little bit. Right, and you hated him for it. So you actually were going after him because he was a bum.
Yeah, I wanted to get him out of the house.
Okay, so you set up a detective and caught him with hookers?
I found out he was in Atlantic City, and I thought he was down there with a woman he had previously had cheated on my mother with. And when I hired the PI, he called me and said, you better get down here. You know, here's what's going on. He's requesting 18-year-old prostitutes from an escort service.
Oh, all right. So the end of the story was what? He got caught and what happened?
I was able to get him out of the house. My mother's lawyer got all the information from me, called up my father and said, you're a moron. You better get out of the house immediately.
Well, you're every woman. You're like every mother's dream son. You're like go to war for a mother to beat up a bad father. To kill him in the cave, to throw him out of the cave.
Absolutely. It was a tough time for everybody.
Did it wreck your life that you had a father like that?
It did not, and the conversation that we had was it made me a better person. I got married in September. I've been married to a girl I've known since she was 12 years old. And
no, wait a minute. I don't want to know anything about that. This is a family show, please.
No, I've known her for a long time. But when this came out with Spitzer, it embarrasses me to be a man that this goes on, because there's nothing more pathetic than a man who needs to pay for sex.
How in the world did you marry a girl that you've known since she was 12? That worries me. How many years has this been in the back of your mind? How long?
We started dating after she graduated college.
Oh, you knew her since she was 12. Not you dated her at 13 or anything.
Sister's best friend.
All right, I'm just joking. Hey, thanks, Dan. I appreciate it. So you want me to talk any more about it? Now all the websites have a picture of this doll. I don't know. The tattoo on the finger already. The family better go get tested. Hi, Dad. Are you home from Dad, look who's home. Dad's home from Washington. He kisses the daughters with the same lips? He walks in the house and kisses the daughter with the same lips? She better go have a test. That's all I can tell you. Look what he picked. This is what he picks over the wife. A real prize. A real pole dancer here. Sacramento, Terry, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael. It's an honor to talk to you. I just wanted to say I'm glad I had to wait a little bit to talk to you, because I was so livid after the caller right before the break. I can't believe how one-sided and how he played excuses for this jerk for cheating on his wife with a bunch of whores. It's okay for a man who supposedly, in his opinion, who is sexually deprived by his wife because they have 2.5 kids or whatever, but yet when a woman is in the reverse role, when she has a couple of kids and she's being sexually deprived, then what are we called?
What?
He was so one-sided, I couldn't believe it.
What are women called when they're in that situation?
They get to go to whorehouses and get their sexual satisfaction. Where do we go?
You go into politics or become a lawyer, one or the other. Either become a lawyer or become a politician or a judge, even better.
There you go.
Then you get your sexual satisfaction out by hurting anybody American.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying. Thanks for the call. Play The Harder They Come for a minute. I need to take a breather. And although I did some good interviews earlier, I'm not going to play them. We're going to go right through this hour talking about Spitzer's erectile dysfunction, oil, the whole deal. I love that line. I'm going to use it tonight. The bigger the moil, the smaller the goil. I have no one to tell it to, though. My dog might enjoy it. Teddy's smart, you know. I think Teddy has a higher vocabulary than, I can't mention the name of a certain politician. You know who's been silent? Have you noticed since Obama started to go into the ascent, who's been quiet, who you haven't heard or hide the hair of? Take a guess who. Jesse Jackson has been silent. And the Reverend Jackson. Now, why do you suppose the Democrat machine has hushed them up? I'll be right back.
Savage.
One and only Savage Nation. Huge audience. Oh, the liberals say I don't exist. I have no audience. No, 4 bestsellers came out of the air. And an audience of this size is listening to every word I say because I'm a moron. I'm not as smart as a progressive. We're the wing nuts, the right wing. We're the right wing nuts. They're the smart ones. The Elliot Spitzers are the smart ones. The Obamas are the Messiah. Obama's the Messiah who's going to save the world. I told you 1,000 times. I don't care that he's black. Anyway, he's not black, okay? He's half white, half black, whatever that makes him, multiracial. Ooh, not a lot of talk about that either. Let's talk about everything. It's talk radio. If you show me a woman who is tough on terrorism, who is going to lower taxes, who respects individual rights, who's not going to drag us into the Euro world court, who's going to make sure that there's no outsourcing of Defense Department contracts, I'll vote for that woman. It's not Hillary Clinton. Same with any race. I don't care what the race is. We don't have such a person. The days of the patriotic candidate are over, and it's not McCain either, because I'm telling you, the Boeing company and supporters of Boeing are accusing McCain of having lobbied for the Airbus company on this contract, and I'm looking into it. And if it turns out that this man is that bad and that much of a Babbitt, forget about John McCain. I'll make sure he doesn't win. West Palm Beach, Frank, you're on the Savage Nation.
How you doing? Listen, good. I'm a first-time black caller, and I have an opinion on all these guys. These guys, you can't expect much from them if you have the priest on the top of the heap of the mountain with the filth that they've committed against the Catholic Church. You don't expect much from these politicians.
But, Frank, the priests have paid the ultimate price, number one. The church is almost bankrupt, number two. And number three, it's not just the prostitution. I keep reiterating. This was the highest law enforcement official in the state of New York money laundering in order to feed his habit. It's a little different than just going with a hooker in New York City. He was stupid on top of it all.
You have this other guy in Jersey that was married, covered up through a marriage, the homosexual governor
right.
of New Jersey. Remember that guy?
Yes, I do. McGreevy.
And he had to come in. They all front with a wife and kids. They're homosexuals. They're everything, and they're always fronting with a wife and kids. And the guy with the leg underneath the stall. That guy,
yeah.
And we had
yeah,
one.
But again, he didn't transfer money in order to touch the guy's foot under a stall. You know, and he didn't bring the guy in by train from New York to Washington to touch his foot under a stall. The crime here is not prostitution, by the way. That's not what they got him on. They're not going to prosecute him on prostitution, Frank. They're going to prosecute him on money laundering, illegal wire transfers, and things of that nature, and they have to do so in order to uphold the entire Patriot Act. That's why I say the prognosis for Elliot Spitzer's future, to me, does not look very good. They have to prosecute him. That's my opinion. I appreciate your call. Not because you're a black first-time caller, but because you raised the point that I don't think is valid in that sense. That's all. WTNT in the heart of the monster, Washington, D.C. Robert, welcome to the Savage Nation. Your opinion, please.
Yes. You had a caller a few minutes ago that talked about the possibility that he was either blackmailed or threatened. You know, and the guy is so smart, I haven't been able to believe that he was that stupid. So I thought.
Yeah, but that's what I keep saying to you. He was that stupid. So you think there's something more to this?
Yes, I do. I think maybe he did it on purpose, so he outed himself to end the threat, whatever threat.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I don't believe it. That's a new twist. You know, I can believe anything. I like people who think like a counterintelligence agent, and that's what you just did. So, in other words, let's take the worst-case scenario. They have pictures of him. They were blackmailing him. They were getting favors from him. He couldn't take it anymore, so he wanted to get caught.
He wanted out, and they threatened him. Life or death, not just money.
God, this is really like out of the Godfather movie. Wow, people are not stupid.
Savage.
Will they tell me of a pie up in the sky? Waiting for me when I die. Day you're born and when you die, they never seem to hear even your cry.
So as sure as
the sun will shine, I'm gonna get my share now of what's mine. And then the harder they come, the harder they'll fall, one and all. Ooh, the harder they come, the harder they'll fall, one and all. The song is dedicated to Elliot Spitzer and all of you other progressives. Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. It's a great day to be a conservative in the United States of America. I mean, after the Cunningham scandal and a few of the other Republicans that went down, and, you know, Duke Cunningham, to me, was given an injustice. Duke was a certifiable Vietnam war ace, flew against the North Vietnamese, the Chinese, shot down five jets. He was a hero of mine. He was corrupt. He took money. He went for the easy buck. They shouldn't have put him away for 8.5 years. They threw the book at him, and it was way out of proportion to what he did because, frankly, if you look at Congress today and you see the sweetheart deals, you see the senators whose husbands
are making billions of dollars, and they sit on committees which with oversight over some of these deals. You see the corruption inside the Defense Appropriations Committee. Duke Cunningham should be released from prison immediately, as far as I'm concerned, and an awful lot of people ought to go through the revolving door who are not there. But now we get to the Spitzer story again. It's not simply about the prostitutes. I'm no child. It's called the world's oldest profession. Okay? It goes on. The issue is not the prostitute anymore. It's the stupidity of Elliot Spitzer. How can you entrust a state to a man as this stupid as to transfer money in an illegal fashion is the issue, by the way. You know, so that's another element of the whole picture. And there are other, there are other stories. The tanker deal I talked about, I don't want to do it again. Today, Ferraro resigns. That Obama would not be in this position if he were white. First of all, no one knows who Ferraro is. She was a nobody when she was somebody. She had 4 minutes of fame, and she abused it to begin with. So what are they even quoting this hack for? So even she got thrown out overboard by Hillary Clinton today. Because she said that Barack Obama would not be in this position if he were white. You know. All right. So that's that. Hillary's on the way down. Her campaign is over. How in the world could you people in New York elect people like this to office over and over again? I don't understand it. But then again, I ask the same question myself here in California. We have a hugely populous state. It is certainly not all liberal. It's liberal in San Francisco. It's liberal in Los Angeles and only in certain portions of Los Angeles. How do they win such pluralities? Answer. Illegal aliens and vote rigging. That's my opinion. Both in New York and here, they rig the machines. They rig the votes with illegal aliens. Witness that even during this presidential campaign, Schmuck McCain has not yet raised the issue of illegal aliens voting in the presidential election. Golden opportunity for McCain, who claims to be. He's going to do something about the illegal aliens and the border. He's a liar. He's an outright fraud and a liar as far as I'm concerned. I am so out of it with McCain after this Boeing deal. I don't care if Obama wins. How do you like that? In fact, the more I investigate this thing, and if it turns out that McCain was lobbying Airbus, I'll do everything I can between now and November to make certain that McCain loses. How do you like that? How do you like that? That's what I'm going to do. I'll take my chances with Obama over him. San Diego, Rob, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael. Oh, my God. I had one of those moments like you do on the radio. I've been listening to you for a long time when that lady came on. Started talking about he's a sex addict. I am so sick and tired of hearing an excuse given for everyone's actions and behavior. I'm a gunnery sergeant in the Marine Corps for the last 13 years now.
Mm-hmm.
If I acted any way near shape or form as some of our politicians and the things these people get away with, I wouldn't be in the Marine Corps.
You're saying in the Marine Corps it's a violation of your code of ethics to be caught with a prostitute? I'm serious. I don't know.
I'm not saying call it a prostitute, but I'm saying the morals and standards we're held to under the UCMJ, the Uniform Code of Military Justice, while we serve our country against enemies, foreign and domestic. And it's just appalling to me that everything in society is an excuse. I mean, I got fellow devil dogs that for doing their job get prosecuted and name-called by guys.
Well, no, I hear what you're saying. Everything's a disease and everything is treatable. Everything's a disease and everything's treatable. No one's responsible, really, for their bad moral character. That's basically what you're saying. Excuse me if I may say this, Rob. When Bill Clinton, who was commander-in-chief, made it with subordinates, he frankly should have gone to jail because if that had been done by a Marine commandant, he certainly would have been in prison, wouldn't he?
He'd been done, washed up. It wouldn't even made the media would have happened so fast. The guy would have been gone.
Well, one thing is for sure. Elliot Spitzer is going to be prosecuted. I'd bet a lot of money on that. Don't you agree with me for the reasons I mentioned, which is the Patriot Act has to be upheld?
Yeah, but Michael, you've said it before and you've said it today, and I've been listening and waiting on hold for an hour. That's how much I like you. Is what's going to happen is there's going to be a different set of standards held because he's a liberal Democrat or whatever, as opposed to a Republican. I'm not saying it because I'm a conservative.
Yeah, let me modify it. He will be prosecuted, but they'll slap him on the wrist, but they have to prosecute him. He won't go to jail for it, but they'll prosecute him in order to uphold the standards of the Patriot Act. But, yes, I agree with you that they'll go light on him.
And then secondly, second thing before I let go is – Obama, how are we going to sit here and vote and praise this guy when, one, he has, connected ties and affiliation with a known racist, Louis Farrakhan?
I agree. Not only a known racist, but his reverend, Jeremiah Wright Jr., who is very questionable. Do you want that man swearing in the next president of the United States?
hey, take a look next time he's on TV and let me know if he's wearing an American flag lapel, because I've yet to see him wearing one.
Oh, yeah, I know he doesn't believe in them. He said he doesn't have to wear a flag in order to be patriotic. Look, I don't like Obama's politics, but if McCain turns out to be a lobbyist or turns out to have lobbied for Airbus, what does that tell you about McCain?
They're all crooks. And you
what?
Said
he could wear all the pins in the world. And what would it mean if the guy lobbied for a foreign manufacturer for the tanker? You know, Rob, here you are, a man who sacrificed your life, given you, basically your service to the country and the millions of others, not only in the military, but in the police line of work and in areas of that nature. Do you know how disheartened you must be when you think that you have such a paltry choice between John McCain and Barack Obama? It's a horrible thing to think that the best the Republicans could offer is this washed-up, used-up tin man. I mean, it's horrible, Rob.
You know what I think needs to run for president? I honestly think that an average Joe of my situation and scenario, got a wife, three kids, pays all his bills, tries to do what's right and tries to take
Rob, I thought that was the case a year ago when I played around with the saying that I might leave radio and run. I got 60 million people on my website saying, leave radio and run. But boy, am I glad I decided not to, Rob. When I read that Barack Obama raised $55 million last year, last month, and I ask myself, where is he getting this money from? $55 million in 1 month, Rob. In this country, you don't run for office. Money runs for office, Rob. It's all about money. Right now, I'm in a fight for my life against this group, Council on Jihad Relations. You know that. Believe me, I haven't raised $55 million last month. I can tell you by this little defense fund that it's real hard to raise money if you're honest. And it's real easy to raise money if you're dishonest, Rob. And I thank you very much for your call. Providence, Rhode Island, Ernie on WPRO. Boy, I haven't heard from friends in Providence in a long time. Ernie, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Good evening, Mike.
Wait a minute. How come I'm on PRO tonight? What happened? They didn't break for a sporting event or what?
Well, I do miss you when you're not on. We all miss you when they have these baseball games. But getting back to Governor Spitzer, I think there's something here that was missing in his life. I wondered if you kind of wonder about it. With all his money and all his success, there's something that we're still missing, even with a family, unless you can connect to eternal values, the spiritual things that are well above and beyond us that we can't even understand, kind of things you grapple with from Scripture. I think there's always going to be something missing and empty in our lives, and I wondered if you might comment on that.
I think you did such a superb job, I wouldn't care to comment on it because you did a perfect job. But look, this man's God was power. This man's religion was merciless brutality towards his enemies. And I think that the old saying, not only the harder they come, which is why I've been playing the song, but I think the pen is mightier than the sword in this case, Ernie. And the man was brought down by his own petard. You know the saying, hung by his own petard? You know what that means. His enemies waited and waited and waited, and they hung him by his own petard, the petard being that, I believe it's, isn't it the block of wood around which the rope is wrapped, Beowulf? Isn't that what a petard is?
I
think that's what it is. So they hung him by his own petard, and that's why America is number one, obsessed with this case, and number two, gloating over it. Thanks for the call. What's BMB? Petard is a kind of BMB? What's a B? What? What do you mean bomb? Oh, it's a kind of bomb? I thought a petard was a kind of I actually always thought it was the block of wood. Shows you my French, my ancient French is bad. WOR, David, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I wanted to put a savage spin onto the Spitzer fiasco. You know, I think he should have stayed in office because then he would have been in moral prison because he wouldn't have been able to do this again. Now he's out. He's a free man. He's a private man. When his wife divorces him, no one knows about it. He's a common citizen. And he's back with he's back to agent number nine. I think there should be a savage contest. Which political figure is 1 through 8? And if we could which political figures are agents 1 through 8 for the Emperor's Club?
Well, that's interesting because you think they're going to out them now? Well, wait a minute. Now, look, you live in New York, David. Have you ever heard of this guy Patterson before?
I have not.
No one knows who he is. He is an invisible, blind guy who flunked the bar, who's now going to be the top law enforcement official in Manhattan, in New York. Mr. Patterson, you're now governor. What? Me? And again, I have to go back to my primary point, which is irrefutable. The logic is so steel trappish that it's irrefutable. Elliot Spitzer, who just exhibited very bad judgment, is the man who chose, handpicked Mr. Patterson to be lieutenant governor. Remember, Lieutenant Governor Patterson did not run for office. He did not go through public scrutiny to become lieutenant governor. He was picked basically as an underling and as a yes man, a rubber stamp for the man without judgment, Elliot Spitzer, number one. But number two, there's another element that's very important, and you shouldn't forget it. The man flunked the bar and could not even become a lawyer. How is this man going to qualify to be the governor of the state of New York? I think that they need to hold a special election, by the way. And I think that the people of the state deserve better than a lackey of Governor Spitzer for the governorship of the state. And I don't care whether a Democrat or Republican wins, frankly. You need a qualified, certified individual to run a state of that magnitude. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So, Spitzer was hung by his own petard. I want to go back. I very rarely make an error. Turn it off. They can't hear me. I very rarely make an error on this show, but when I do, I correct it immediately. I was wrong. I had always thought, hung by his own petard, that the petard was an antiquated French word for the wooden block around which the rope was looped. But I'm wrong. A petard was a medieval small bomb used to blow up gates when breaching fortifications. And where does it come from? In France, in French, it still means a firecracker, okay? But in modern usage, we use the phrase to be hoisted by one's own petard, which really means to be harmed by one's own plan to harm someone else, you see, or to fall into one's trap. And there's interesting etymology about it. Middle French, they say that it comes from to break wind. From pet expulsion of intestinal gas from the Latin peditum, from neuter or peditus, past participle of pedere, to break wind. Because, it, you know, when the bomb went off, it blew wind up. It, akin to the Greek bedin, to break wind. So it's interesting. I love etymology, but it has nothing to do with this. We're talking about Elliot Petard here on the Savage Nation. So it's interesting words and what they're meaning. And to me, the word is the deed, and that's why I have to get words exactly right. And when I don't, I'll correct myself, unlike others in the business who don't even know that when they get things wrong. Okay, let's go to the callers on the Savage Nation. So now we know what petard means correctly. And we learned something new today. But do you think that New York State, to get down to business, should have a special election for the governorship because Patterson is a lackey of Elliot Spitzer, number one, never ran for office, number two, and flunked the bar, number three. And number four, if this guy, who is Spitzer's flunky, becomes governor, he could pardon him. Hello? What if he becomes governor and pardons Spitzer? Would you like that to happen? And that's another reason that New York needs to start talking about a special election. And if I am the first in the media business to mention that, so be it. I believe that a lackey of this disgraced governor is not qualified to become governor for the reasons I mentioned. And there's a danger that he might pardon him, number two. Okay? Some of you agree and disagree already on that. Albany, New York, Ken, WGY, go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. Michael, David Patterson is a well-respected, well-known, and in fact, he was elected as a state senator and rose to the position of minority leader of the state Democratic Senate conference.
All right, so that's to his credit. How about the fact that he failed the bar exam? Does that in some ways embarrass the position of governor?
He wouldn't be the first person that's failed the bar exam. And matter of fact, I think we had a congressman, Sweeney, recently, who also, too, failed the bar and was recently ousted in his position as
a I'm learning. So let's go back in time. Isn't it true that this Lieutenant Governor Patterson passed a law years ago that told cops they could not shoot to kill, they had to shoot to wound, and it cost some cops their lives?
I don't know if he passed the law. He might have proposed such a law. Matter of fact, I spoke to a state trooper today that spoke to that to me. So there might be some very well truth to that.
Well, that's something to look into. I mean, the man's policies apparently are far more liberal than even Spitzer, if you can believe that.
Well, I can say is this, is that I feel very, very confident that that type of thinking relative to the world we're in today will not be something that's going to be moving forward. I feel very confident about that.
What kind of thinking?
Well, in other words, although he might have proposed that some time ago, I do not think in the next 2.5 years that that'll be a policy that he will provide to the public and say, this is what we're doing.
Look, Ken, even if you're a Democrat politician, it's fine that you call a show. I don't know Patterson, but when I read, you know, I don't even care that he's blind. I mean, you can make jokes about that, but there are blind people who are very competent. It worries me when the top law enforcement official in the state has flunked the bar. That worries me a little bit.
I can appreciate that. I can appreciate that. And,
you know, that would be like a guy who finished all the coursework for a PhD in, nuclear physics, but couldn't pass the PhD exam, then becomes appointed by a president to run the nuclear watchdog agency. Well, that would be like a guy who took all the credits towards a pilot's license, but then flunked the actual pilot's license exam, and then he, through political, machinery, winds up as the head of the FAA.
I understand what you're saying, Michael, but I feel very confident that the people he will have around him will create great policy for New York State. I really do.
All right. I hope you're right. I hope you're right, and I hope he doesn't pardon Elliot Spitzer. That's all. 1-800-449-8255. You must also please you must please go to michaelsavage.com. Take a look at the Bolshevik judges siding with the Council on Jihad Relations against me. And as I said to all of you who've helped with the Michael Savage Legal Defense Fund, I don't give up too easily. And the harder they come, believe me, that song has a lot of meaning for me. I didn't get this far in life because I gave up so easily, and I'm not going to be taken down so easily, and I need your help, and that's all there is to it. Go on there and take a look at what the Bolshevik judge did. She may as well have been working in Russia in 1918 after the Bolshevik Revolution. She knew what was expected of her from the machine if she wanted to rise up the federal court system. That's all I can tell you.
Savage.